بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت زبير رضي الله عنه had a neighbor. Both had orchards, and there was a river passing through the orchard. The system in those days where the system was that if there is a stream running through the orchard, then the first person through whose orchard the stream is running, he has the right to take the water to his satisfaction and stop the water, and he can irrigate his orchard. And after he's fully irrigated his orchard, then he can allow the water to pass on to the neighbor. So Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu was the first person through whom this stream used to be running. His orchard came first, so the stream used to be running through his orchard first. He had a neighbor, and the neighbor was objecting. He says, "Don't stop the water, allow the water to flow so that I can enjoy of the water of the stream." Zubair radiallahu anhu said, "All right, let's go for a settlement to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the position and the prevalent system. The current system is this, that everybody who has this type of business, then the procedure is that the first person has the right to irrigate the water of the stream. Thereafter, whoever comes in line, he has the right thereafter." Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a matter of settlement out of court, one is now a decision and one is a settlement out of court. Settlement, that's you relax your right a little bit, you relax your right, give and take, and come to some agreement. And that is a better way of doing things, was sulhu khair. This type of settlement out of court, some type of amicable settlement is better. When there is a dispute in the family, then the Quran Sharif also suggests that there should be some settlement. Ruddul qada or ruddul khusumata ila dhawil arham fa inna al qada or fa inna hukm al qada'i turithu zaga'in. When there is a dispute, then refer it to the people of the family. Some elders of the family, refer it to them. Let them bring about a settlement. If the spouses cannot agree to a settlement themselves, then some elders of the family, let them come to a settlement. Because if you're going to take it out of the family to court or for some arbitration out of the family, then this will create hatred and malice within the hearts. Because everybody's dirty linen is going to be thrown out. Now it was contained within the family. Right? It was contained within the family. So the embarrassment is minimized. But if it is thrown and taken out of the family, it's gone out, the world has come to know about it. So both the spouses feel, and both the families will feel, now what's left? All the dirty linen has been thrown out. People have understood, and they know our problem. So now what's left? He's taken and thrown out all my stuff, so let me throw out his stuff as well. So eventually, this leads to further malice, hatred, dislike, and then the process of reconciliation becomes even more difficult. So rather, let a settlement take place within the family, within the house. What's your problem? Alright, he relaxes his right, he relaxes his right. Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu had some problem with a debtor. He wasn't paying the debt promptly. And the voices were raising just near the masjid somewhere. Rasulullah ﷺ had overheard this, that he is demanding for his right, and that person is disputing, whatever it was. So Rasulullah ﷺ requested Ubay ibn Ka'b that relax it now, just make a settlement out of court, waive half. So that Ka'b, you know, Malik, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu had waived half the right. Now Rasulullah ﷺ asked the debtor that now pay it promptly now, he's waived half the right. When it's waived half the right, now pay him promptly. So this settlement out of court is the better way. Settlement, some type of amicable arrangement we make out of court. Rasulullah's tariqah method was also forgive and overlook. Forgive and overlook. Don't become petty over every small little thing, and we begin to khal mein se baal nikalna. Every petty, become very, very petty. So that makes the process more difficult, more complicated. Who doesn't have a problem? If you know, we begin to x-ray ourselves with a very, very fine comb, if we begin to see ourselves, we'll find also a lot of problem within ourselves. Like we'll be looking for problems in the next person, in the person that is disputing with us, there'll be a lot of problems within our own selves. We misuse our tongues, we abuse someone, we have wrong intentions, etc. So the method of Rasulullah ﷺ, the way of Rasulullah ﷺ was forgive and overlook. That was a sunnah, that was the way, that was the procedure, this is the lifestyle. Don't become petty, don't become too particular over things, over your rights. Ibrahim bin Adham, these great awliya-i-kiram, actually they practiced the sunnah and they showed it to us that this is how the sunnah is practiced. They practiced it and they showed it to us, they displayed it to us that this is how you practice the sunnah. So that Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, he was somewhere near a harbour and the whole ship was moving, youngsters. And you know how youngsters have it, they want some fun. They want to amuse themselves and they want some fun. So you need someone, that you can amuse yourself with. So the right candidate will be a person who is poor, he is not very strong looking, he can't stand for his rights. So you can take him and you can poke fun with him. See? Now if the person who is quite popular, he is strong and he can defend himself, then it's difficult. See? So a person that is unknown, he's foreign, he doesn't seem to be very strong, clothes are not right, take him, he's a suitable candidate for this. So they saw Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, foreign person, nobody knows him, weak, pale, clothes are not right. So they caught him somehow and put him onto the boat. Now they are amusing themselves with him, they made a circle now and they're joking. They got him in the center and someone pokes a fun and they push him, so he's falling down. As he hardly manages to sit up again, someone else pushes him from the next corner, he's falling down again. Now the ship is moving, and you know when the ship moves and you have a bilious feeling, like throwing up, you see. And with all that now, they are doing this. In the meanwhile, this is a great wali of Allah Ta'ala, very, very great awliya. So when he fell once, so he heard a divine voice, that if you so wish, we can drown all these stupid people here, all these khabith, we can drown them at once. They have got no consideration, no respect for you. Allah Ta'ala overlooks someone does wrong, and the rights of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala overlooks. But when the rights of His awliya are trampled, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't overlook this. من آذى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. When you hurt any servant of mine, any wali of mine, then I declare war against you. See? So it is the rights of Allah Ta'ala, he may forgive. Someone did something wrong. He violated a command of Allah Ta'ala. You ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, try and amend, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. But then to hurt a friend of Allah Ta'ala, that's a very, very serious thing. Many a times, history has got it in record that a whole town was ruined on account of them hurting a wali. One wali and the whole town was ruined. Whole populace were destroyed. Why they hurt a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very, very delicate thing. It's a very delicate thing, very sensitive thing that you hurt a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim al-Adham rahmatullahi alayhi heard this voice. So he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, as you have the power and the ability to drown each one of these people here, you also have the ability to open their eyes. You have the ability to make them your friends, to make them awliya. They open their eyes, they begin to see realities. This type of futility that they are involved in, they get out of it, they become more realistic, understanding of the hereafter, akhirat, they begin to recognize you. So they get onto real things. You have the ability to change their hearts. Like you have the ability to drown each soul, you have the ability of guiding everyone also. And he made dua, and the next moment we see it, and each one of those people turn out to be walis. They came with such intentions, and these awliya have such lofty intentions for people. Compassion, love, mercy. They display that sunnah. The whole spirit of the sunnah is displayed by these people here. Brother Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi was in the confines of his house, engaged in tahajjud, and one person came to steal. All these things happen from old. Drinking and stealing and robbing, cheating, all these things happen, nothing new. So he's engaged in tahajjud and this person comes to steal. Hazrat Junaid rahmatullahi sensed it that there's someone inside the house. And he carried on, perhaps it was a zamana of safety. People did not get threatened with their lives. They didn't feel intimidated. Someone comes in, person will come in and steal and go away. He won't hurt you, he won't interfere with your life. So anyway, this thief made out that Junaid is going to make salam just now. Thief also knows about namaz. Imagine, he knows about namaz, salam, all that, he knows everything. So he made out that he's going to make salam just now, and he will look around, because he hears some disturbance in the house. So the right thing for me to do is to just hide behind the door somewhere. So behind a door or cupboard or something, he took shelter under. Anyway, he had made salam, and one message came, that in a certain area, certain Abdal had passed away, and you need to replace him. Abdal, a certain class of Allah Ta'ala's servants, and he needs to be replaced. So, Brother Junaid rahmatullahi alayhi, he put his hand behind the door, pulled him out, thought, take this person and go. What intentions he had come with, what stupid and very, very low intentions he came with, and how these people bless them, how they exalt them, how they look at the servants of Allah Ta'ala differently. Yeah, we look at it from one perspective. He's coming into the house of a wali and he's stealing from me. He's disrupting my namaz. Man azlamu mimma mana'a masajid Allahi an yuthkara fiha ismuhu. All the ayats of the Quran Sharif will start storming our minds. You know, how can he do such a thing? Allah Ta'ala's la'nat on him. He's hurting a wali of Allah Ta'ala. But these people's hearts are different. Their hearts are like they belong to a different planet, as though they don't belong to this planet. They belong to a different planet. The whole, they think, they understand, they reason everything differently. So the Junaid rahmatullahi blesses him in this way. So this approach, this attitude, this way of forgiving, overlooking, covering up people's faults, weaknesses, this was much more in the people of the past. And now it's born in such a way that each person feels, no, I must protect my rights. I must stand up for my rights. Sue him, take him to the cleaners, get my rights secured. Don't let him overstep the mark. Don't let him tramp onto my feet. Now, these are the type of things we see today. Really, we should keep our hearts clean. We must keep our hearts clean. Our minds clean, our hearts clean. And leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will find out a solution. In most problems, I notice, when there is a problem, it's intricate, it's difficult, complicated, and then we want to get back at the person, or we fear the person. But what we forget to do is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Sahanpur Madrasa, there was a problem, major problem. And the whole madrasa was shaken up. You know how you have an inquiry from the government and all these type of problems you have. So the Shaykh Ahmad's time, major problem. It was a point where the madrasa could have shut down its doors. So Hazrat Sahanpuri was alive at the time and he was also shaken up. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali suggested to his Shaykh, Hazrat, koi kuch fikar na kare, bas us taraf zara tawajjuh kar le. There is no need for you to panic. Just turn in that direction. Now he's the Shaykh and he's the student. And immediately, Mawlana Sahanpuri Rahmatullah's face just glittered. It just sparkled. There was a shine on the face. The face just opened up. All that gloominess, that sadness, that worry, that concern, all that as though it just collapsed. And the face just sparkled, just cleared up. So, Diana, what he's saying is right. We forgot about this. This is the right thing. This is the way we're supposed to be going. Turn in that direction. And it happened the same way. It happened exactly the same way. They got into dua, asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, asked Allah Ta'ala's help, and all the clouds of destruction and ruin that they were anticipating, everything just disappeared. Everything went away. So this is the area that we lack in. Someone does something, you better get back at him. The aspect of forgiving, overlooking, hiding someone's fault, overlooking someone's problem, weakness, we totally overlook it. We don't reflect within ourselves that I may be also having some problems. وَلَكَ وَفِيكَ عُيُوبٌ وَلِلنَّاسِ عُيُونٌ وَفِيكَ عُيُوبٌ وَلِلنَّاسِ عُيُونٌ. If you are so particular about the faults and the weaknesses of people, then you also have problems, you have also weaknesses, and people are also observing. You say, no, he did this, and he did this, and he did this. But don't you have problems? And people are watching, people are observing, like you observing their weaknesses, they also observe your weakness. And like you would like, they must minimize your problem, make it look small, and just, like they say nowadays, push it under the carpet, sweep it under the carpet. You would like the same for yourself. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, I want to show you this Buzurgan Deen. Their sight is so high. They don't become little, petty, small, over small things. They overlook, forget it, leave it. This will just go into our balance of good deeds. So they looked at it from a different perspective altogether. Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, I want to show you the magnanimity of their hearts. Their hearts were so big. He disclosed this to his one friend, that you see, I am lame, I can't walk, you know. And this is a result of this person's jadu. He made jadu on me. And that person acknowledges that I made the jadu. One is how the amil is speculating, you know, saying, oh, your brother did this and your cousin did this and so did it. And here the man is acknowledging, he accepts it that he did the jadu, and Shaykh became lame, he can't walk. Now you can imagine, now you become lame. What a big problem. Yeah? What a big problem. You can't move, you're totally dependent on four people, move you around, toilet, bath, work. All the time you are dependent, entirely dependent. What a big drawback in your life. Someone steals your wealth, alright, you can work again, you can move around, you can restore that Well, but he breaks your leg, you can't move. What happens? You can't move at all in your life now, you can't move. For the rest of your life now, as long as you live, you can't move. You have to go for Umrah, you want to go for Hajj, you want to go here, there. You're totally dependent. From here, you want to go to the toilet, you're dependent. You want to sit on the into the car, you're dependent. You want to go to the masjid, you're dependent. You can't do a single thing. The dependence, can you imagine now? So this is this with this friend of mine, that I know this person, and I'm absolutely certain, I'm absolutely clear, because he accepted it himself. But whenever I come from Madina Munawara, whenever I come from Madina Munawara, amongst the first person that I meet is this person. I go and meet him, I make dua for him, and I bring gifts from Madina Munawara for him. Now, Uska, look at his sight, look at his heart, that person's heart. But these Buzrugan ad-Din, look at their generosity, their magnanimity, how they look at it. Total, the whole outlook is different. They don't become petty, small, you know, how can he do this to me? What will happen to him? Now he must worry about his akhirat, he must worry about his iman. What will happen to his iman? They look at it totally different. One person invited her, the Shaykh Rahmatullah, and Shaykh knew him for a long period, a senior police officer. And they know, all of them, they know these officers, how they work. They're earning 500 rupees, their monthly budget is 5,000, and where that 4,500 is coming, only Allah Pak knows. See? How they getting that money, Allah Pak knows. They know it also themselves. They can put up some so palatial homes, this, that, whatever. Whereas someone is earning 500 rupees. And how they manage to do all that? See? Some miracle, whatever happened, how they manage to do it? See? So Shaykh refused. Gently, politely he refused. So now I got some work and he refused. In the meanwhile, this police officer, he went to Mohan Sahan Puri Rahmatullah and he invited him as well. And further to this, he told Hazrat Mohan Sahan Puri Rahmatullah that he must call Shaykh also Wood, bring Shaykh also Wood to the Dawat. Now see the predicament. Huh? So Mohan Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullah tells Shaykh, Dawat mein chalna hai, ji ya, jay sahab farmaya, whatever you say, you're coming. So Shaykh went to the Dawat. He says to himself that on the one end, there is the hadith that whoever conceals the fault of a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala will conceal his fault. And I want that, I am hoping for that, I am desirous for that, that Allah Ta'ala conceals my fault. I don't want Allah Ta'ala to disclose my faults, expose me at any time. On the other end, now, if I go to this person's house, I know I'm going to be eating a haram. In my sight, this seems to be the lighter thing. See? The Shaykh went for the dawat and he ate, but he came out of the house and he put his finger inside the throat and he vomited everything out. See? But he did not go and disclose and expose this person here. Okay, this person, this person here, his earnings are haram. He does, inka danda isa hai. So just be careful, don't eat from his house. He allowed his own Shaykh to eat, but he preferred not disclosing the fault of a Muslim brother. Man satara an Muslimin, satara Allahu anhu yawm al-qiyamah. You conceal the fault of a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala will conceal your fault. You see the type of heart this awliya ikram have, the type of feeling, the type of generosity, the type of... So these people were petty, but these mashayikh, they came with their generosity and they overlooked. Right? People began to become attracted to Islam, they became attracted to deen, and this was that akhlaq that attracted people to Islam, it won people over. If the Muslims from the very beginning, if they began to look at everybody with a very, very fine comb, very, very fine comb, you think we would have been in Islam today? No, we would not have been in Islam today. they also, some elders and some of the older people, they had overlooked perhaps our great 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 grandfathers. They had overlooked them, small mistakes, big mistakes, they had overlooked them. Gradually these people were led into Islam. I always think of this verse, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Allah Pak speaks about a person, perhaps he just accepted Islam. He doesn't know much about Islam. Outwardly he seems to be a kafir. But as you approach him, you understand that he's a Muslim. He says kalima, or he says the word of salam. لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. He said the word of Islam. Or he said, Assalamu alaikum. Now you understand that he's a Muslim. But in the meanwhile, now you see him from all his past, what his history, what his record, all the wrong that he did. He hit this person, yeah, he killed that person, my father, my brother, he killed, and he did this, and he did this. Now he's getting away so cheap with Assalamu alaikum. I must slay him, I must finish him up. So Allah Pak says, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You also were the same. We must look at ourselves, that we also were the same. But Allah Ta'ala shrouded us with His compassion. He covered us up with His mercy. So, as a result of His shroud of mercy, we are behaving today. We don't have that behavior. That behavior is not within us. It is that shroud of mercy that people are praising. It is not us, and it's not we that people are praising. It is that shroud of Allah Ta'ala's mercy of love that people are praising. Oh, mashallah, what a good person. Really, it's not us. It is that shroud and it is that shawl of mercy that people are praising. MashaAllah, what a good person, what a good person. He's doing this, he's doing this. So Allah Pak says, you are also the same. Then Allah Ta'ala covered you. When He covered you, then you must also cover my servants. They are all my servants. Like Allah Pak loves you, He loves that person also. Though he's a kafir now presently. But he must have got some flame of fire of love of Allah Ta'ala. He's kafir presently. كَانَتْ مِنْ قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ. Living amongst the kuffar, he is not attracted to Islam as yet. Right? Because of the environment, because of circumstance, because of people that he's living amongst, he's not attracted to Islam as yet. But if he is given an exposure to Islam, he is given an introduction to Islam, you expose him to Islam, then he'll gladly come to Islam. But he did not have that opportunity, he did not have that situation, he did not have that opportunity, that type of opportunity was not given to him. Like Allah Ta'ala favored you were the same. In other words, when you talk about yourself, think about your 20th generation grandfather, right? Right? He must have been in some temple, whatever it was, ringing some bell or drinking some urine, whatever it is, he must have been doing all this, right? Think about or the 20th generation grandfather, great-grandfather, what he must have been doing. And then who favored him? Allah Pak favored him. Then that favor flowed through us. Like that favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flowed onto him, started off from him and flowed onto us. Then hope the same for the servants of Allah Ta'ala. They were also kafirs. Allah Ta'ala favored them, Allah Ta'ala blessed them. And that blessing flowed onto us. Similarly, when we see these people wrong, dismeanors, discrepancy, some wrong, some weakness, we overlook it. We overlook it, don't talk about it, don't make an advertisement, don't make a publicity of the wrong. If it was your own child, how you have looked at it? You're worried about the integrity, the respect of the child. So he is also the child of Allah Ta'ala. If he's your child, then he's the child of Allah Ta'ala as well. Like you concern for him, then be concerned for this person as well. ذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You were the same. Allah Ta'ala favored you. So you favor my servants as well. So don't become mean, don't become petty, don't leave it to Allah Ta'ala. You have a clear outlook, you have a clear mind. That explains one incident here. They had to go to one person. So he asked his friend, some wakil sahab or something, to accompany him. We need to go to him. So the wakil sahab perhaps said, you know, but this person is your opposition. How can you go to your opposition? He won't agree to you. He won't agree with you. So when he's not going to agree with you, he's your opposition, he harbors malice for you, then why do you go to him for any assistance, any support? So he says that we are going to him for the sake of deen. For the sake of deen, we are going to him. Agar tawfiq musa'adat karegi, if Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq supports him, well and good. If Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq supports him, well and good. And if he's not supported with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have got the sawab and the reward for attempting to try and bring about reformation, correction. We attempted. After that it didn't happen. But we attempted, we went up to him, we spoke to him. If he entertained us, he accepted us, then all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if for some reason he could not entertain us, or he could not support us, then we got no complaints against him. Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib Rahmatullahi, someone asked him to write a letter of recommendation, king or whoever it was. So he writes a letter of recommendation that if you help this person out, فَالْمُعْتِي هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ الْمَشْكُورُ, then the real giver, the real bestower is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for this act of ihsan, that you were the means of this favor, we will compliment you, we will honor you and respect you, appreciate this favor, that this favor came via yourself. فَالْمُعْتِي هُوَ اللَّهُ, the real giver is Allah ta'ala. But because it came through you, therefore we will appreciate, we will be thankful, and we will be grateful to you. We'll be grateful to you. See now how their sight is. They thank and they appreciate the medium as well. They thank and they appreciate the medium as well. See, when we don't think like this, we don't think correctly, then our whole mind goes lopsided. When we don't think and we're not covered with the veneer of Islam and deen, then our thinking also goes all haywire, all off, goes off. One man was reprimanding his son, you know, and he says, "You acting in this manner towards myself, don't you know the ihsan, the favors that I've done to you, and you are treating me like this? You totally disregard me, not worried about me, about your mother, you're not worried at all. Allah Ta'ala has placed you in this position today, you have got this knowledge, you become whatever man of profession, you're earning very well. Don't you know all the favors of your parents on yourself?" So he turns around and he says, "What favor have you done to me? Tumto, you were just taking and seeking some type of pleasure with my mother, and I was the mistake that was produced." Now, overall what he said was not wrong. Overall what he said was wrong. It wasn't wrong. But is that the way? This is how we treat the medium. Islam teaches us differently. Islam teaches us, you have that belief that Allah Ta'ala is the provider, but you respect the means as well. Whichever means come in between, you respect and you are grateful to the means as well. You don't disregard it entirely. This is deen. This is Islam. Harun al-Rashid was in his quarters. Some late part of the night, he had some mehman, some guest. So he called for his slave, Ya Ghulam. So up till then, all the ghulams, they were merry and they were talking, joking and laughing and everything. The moment he said, Ya Ghulam, everybody began to snore and they gone to a different world. He said, Ya Ghulam again. When he said, Ya Ghulam again, the second time, now one of those ghulams, slaves, he shouted, "Yes. Not in the day you allow us to sleep peacefully, stay with peace. And the night just starts, our sleep just starts, and then you shout, Ya Ghulam, Ya Ghulam, Ya Ghulam. What is this slow torture? Rather take that knife and poke us one time, finish us up. It's still torture you're putting us to. I was reading an article. You see, in this English language, the Western media, the Western mentality, they just change words. They change words and they make it look much more pleasant. The same dirt and the filth, but they will make it look much more pleasant. Like a street sweeper, they call him a street technician. Right? Jail, they call it correctional services. And this Bush and Jamaat, they perfected all these torture ways, right? The ways of torture and hurting people. So they don't call it torture, they call it... they have perfected the ways of interrogation. They brought the ways of interrogation to the limit of perfection. So how cleverly and how smartly they cover up all their mistakes. See, own mistakes, but how they cover it up. Make it look so wonderful. What's happening that they're burning people, pulling out, extracting their fingernails, see? Doing all type of things to them. Suspending people, you know, tying their arms and suspending them, that their feet was hardly touched the ground. They're doing all these type of things. But they give it such wonderful names. They have perfected the ways of interrogation, methods of interrogation. So anyway, we're talking of this Harun al-Rashid. So that slave turns around and says, yes, rather kill us one time. So this Harun al-Rashid didn't pay any attention. He just ignored the whole thing, forgot the whole thing. So this mehman that he had was quite an old acquaintance. So this mehman says to him, "Tune tere gulamo ko bad akhlaq kar diya. You have spoiled your slaves. You have spoiled your slaves. That they have the type of guts and heart to speak back to you in this way." So Harun Rashid says that if these people have spoiled the akhlaq and they have ruined the akhlaq, must I go and shout at them and spoil my akhlaq as well? They spoiled the akhlaq and their character, it's to their peril. But on account of trying to reform them and correct them, must I go and ruin my akhlaq also? I can't ruin my akhlaq for that. I will try and keep that sublime character. I'll maintain my composure. I'll keep the sublime and good character that Islam teaches us. I'm not going to ruin my akhlaq for these people. See? So this was overall the outlook of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, Rasul-e-Pak, the Awliya-i-Kiram, how they looked at it, how they overlooked people's faults, their weaknesses, how they covered, and their sight was towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wants this from us, that we cover His servants and He'll cover us. Let's overlook it and He'll overlook our faults. So our nazar will be towards our weaknesses. Our sight, our glances will be to our weaknesses, and we will be blinded from the faults of others. That is why one of the methods that have been suggested to guard yourself against fitna. You know, we see there's so much of fitna here, there, all around, there's so much of fitna. So one of the things that have been suggested to guard yourself against the fitna is wabki ala khatiyatik, cry over your sins. A person is going to cry over his sins, then he will examine himself all the time. I got this also, I need to ask Allah's forgiveness for this also. Yeah, when I was in school, in 6 or 7, I just came of age, what I was doing at that time, I was talking to who I was talking and all that, and how my eyes was floating around, and what I did at that time. See? So Allah Pak knows about it. I say, hey, Allah Pak, please forgive me. Don't let anybody know about this. Today I'm a Mawlana, whatever it is. But in 5, and this is what I did. If all that khazana, and if someone has to open that vault, what's going to happen? I'm going to give a Juma talk today, and someone opens the cupboard of my skeleton. Phir uska anjam kya hoga? What will be my position today? Allah Ta'ala, you covered me now. He covered me in the past, covered me in the future as well. Covered me always. So you begin to examine yourself even more all the time. You begin to examine yourself. And as you examine yourself, then you don't have the time to look into the faults of people. He's got this weakness, he's got that weakness, he's got that. You're not looking into their faults. You examining your own weaknesses, own faults all the time. So وَبْكِي عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ. This is one of the teaching Rasulullah has given us to protect ourselves, guard ourselves at the time of fitna. And it is so important, see, so important to cry our own faults. This Bahadur Shah Zafar, one of the rulers of India, he used to say, Jab Pari Nazar Jab Pari Nazar Logo Ke Aib Hunar Ke Upar. He says, when my sight fell upon the people, the weaknesses, their faults, etc., then Dekhta Raha Logo Ke Aib Hunar. I began to keep seeing this person is like this, that person like this, this person like this, that person. Lekin jab nazar pari apne par, but when my nazar, my sight fell upon myself, when I began to examine myself, dunya mein koi bura na raha. There wasn't a single bad person in the world worse than me. When I looked towards people, I found everybody, he's got this weakness, he's got that problem, he's got that problem. Lekin jab nazar pari apne upar, when my sight fell upon my own self, I began to see myself with that fine comb. I began to look at my own self. Then I found there was nobody bad in this world. I was the worst person. See? So this is one of the elements that Rasulullah has suggested to us, that we may be able to guard ourselves against fitna, against problems. We talk about fitna, yeah, fitna, that fitna, this person did this. But seldom do we ask ourselves, what is the remedy? Right? People are talking about obesity and what, right? Now what is the remedy? Now how do we get ourselves right? How do we correct ourselves? Now the more important thing to understand is how to get yourself right. You understood the problem, but now what is the way forward? You just tell people, you know, Jahannam, 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 alright. It's good, you warn them about Jahannam. But now you need to guide them and ask, show them, that how do you protect yourself? How do you guard yourself against Jahannam? We showed them about Jahannam, the punishment that lies in store for the sinners, for the criminals, etc. You showed them, alright. But now, what is the way out? How do we get out of this? So, what we really need to discuss is, how do we get out of this fitna? So, one simple solution Rasulullah is showing, is cry over your own sins. Now you'll see that person in the masjid, he's coming to the masjid also with a heavy heart. He's remorseful. When he's walking towards the surface, he's crying. If his eyes are not weeping, then his heart is crying. See? He's coming into the masjid, in the state of sajda, he's crying again. He's sitting down, he's crying again. Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. Don't publicize me. Don't expose my faults, my weaknesses. Allah Ta'ala, please, you covered me. Up till now, you covered me. Allah Ta'ala, cover me all the way. See? So you will come with that frame of mind. You'll come with that type of heart. So we are talking about Zubair radiallahu anhu, and Zubair radiallahu anhu had this dispute with his neighbor. So I branched off from here. I said, the right thing is when we have a problem, then we go for a settlement out of court, amicable, because fasdal fa inna fasdal qada'i yurithu zara'in. This going into the court and going in a proper formal sitting, where we're having a formal proper sitting, arbitration, etc., what will happen? That will creates malice, hatred, all the dirty linen has been thrown out. Every single small thing that I've done, everything now it's been exposed to everybody. It's coming in paper and everybody will watch it. All the people that are, you know, the affected parties or the arbitrating parties, they will all watch what I was doing. And now how will I fare in the presence of all these people here? So all these things will go into his mind. And the malice will begin to grow. Hatred and evil within the heart will grow. So if there is a problem, try and sort it out amicably. Give and take something, alright. You take this. And amicably bring about an adjustment, some type of solution. This is the way. This is the Islamic way. This is the way the Quran Sharif is proposing. Wasulhu khair. And sulah, reconciliation, settlement out of court, trying to sort yourselves amicably, that's best for you people. So anyway, Rasulullah explained to Zubayr radiallahu anhu, this is alright a problem, alright, as a settlement, lest we do this, that you take a little bit of water, take a little bit of water, just see that your orchard has become moist, you see, it's nice and moist, and then allow the water to carry on onto the orchard of your neighbor. See, you have the right to take the water right till the satisfaction, but don't take it to the level of satisfaction. Take it to the point where your orchard will be alright, you see, and then allow the stream to carry on into the orchard of your farm, of your neighbor. So this person, yeah, he turned around and he says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yeah, just because he is your cousin, therefore you're saying this. Na'uzubillah. Yeah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying him as a matter of compromise. Zubayr is compromising his right. And this person is not appreciating it. He is not appreciating this. So then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, alright, if you're not happy with this compromise and with this settlement out of court, then let's go on the original system. The original system is that first orchard has the right to the water of the stream. So take to your satisfaction and then allow the water to carry you. It was on this occasion that this verse was revealed. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala takes an oath. When he starts the oath with La, there are several meanings, but one of the meanings that are suggested is that there is no faith. In other words, besides what we are talking about, then there is no faith, there is no iman in that person. وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They do have no faith. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until and unless they appoint you as the judge, as the arbitrator, as the final decider in all the affairs. فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. In all their disputes, all their quarrels, whatever they have, then they decide you, they take you as the final judge, final one to decide. Whatever you say after that. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And that criteria of the iman is not perfected yet. That requisite of the iman is not just completed and perfected with taking Rasulullah's decision as final. No. One is to take his decision as final. That what he says, was that is final. The iman is, imani requirement goes even further. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتِ. Then, after you have taken a decision, they find no constraints within themselves in your decisions. You passed a decision, they don't find any constraints in it. They wholeheartedly and gladly accept your decision. See, one is to appoint Rasulullah as the final judge, as the one taking the final decision. Right? That's the one level. And the second level, the second requirement of faith, the one requirement of faith is Rasulullah in his life, he will decide. And after Rasulullah, it will be the hadith that will decide. Definitely, it will be the hadith. That is Rasulullah that is speaking. There, he was speaking in life. Here we've got that in record. That's the only difference, that is in life he's speaking. And here, we have got it in record. So that hadith is like Rasulullah speaking. In this situation, you will do this, and you take it as though this is my statement. I have said this. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتِ. So the one requirement of faith is that you take Rasulullah as the final judge. He said, do this, right, we do it. When you confronted with a situation, something wrong, something not right, or something that is doubtful, you are seeing something doubtful, then just lower your gaze. يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. You're going at the beach and things are not right, so you lower your gaze, move out of the area. So the first level, you move out of the area. So you allow the command and the decision of Rasulullah to prevail over yourself. But the requirement of faith doesn't end at that point. Then you have no constraints in accepting the decision of Rasulullah. Now you don't say to yourself, hey, now I have to lower my gaze, I can't see, now Islam is such a big, like a prison here, I'm tied up in shackles, I can't do, I've got no freedom. No, you don't have that type of reservations. You don't have any constraints in accepting that decision of Rasulullah. No, this is the best, this is the right thing, and I must do this. Though I'm finding it difficult to accept it, but intellectually I'm saying to myself that this is the way. To move out of the area at the time of pleasure and happiness and enjoyment is difficult. Obviously, we are men, we have got temptations, we have got feelings and things that will drive us, right? But what Rasulullah is saying is right, though I find it difficult to accept it, though I find it difficult to implement it, but it is right. Intellectually also I feel that is the right way. I don't have any constraints in accepting it. No type of reservation, no type of hesitation in accepting it. And that is the second requirement of faith. Then the third requirement of faith, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. Then you surrender yourself entirely, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, with taqeed, with emphasis. And you surrender yourself entirely. Dil se bhi, jism se bhi, aza se bhi, wholeheartedly you will surrender yourself. With your eyes also you will surrender yourself. Bodily also you will surrender yourself. You will surrender yourself entirely to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is now perfecting that faith. This is the perfection, this is the completion of faith. Three levels. That in any problem, any situation you are confronted, the first thing you will ask, what is the decision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this matter? What did he say? That is the requirement of faith. This is the requisite of faith. That is the first level. The second requirement of faith, that you don't find any constraint, any restraint, any hesitation, any reservation in accepting the decision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His decision, let it be. It's a matter of my business now, and I've got the right to take this penalty from him because of the delayed payment, and that comes up to 500,000 rands. He delayed the payment, all the accumulated, I've got the right. But Rasulullah says that this delayed payment, taking a penalty for that, is more or less equivalent to riba, is equivalent to interest. When it's equivalent to interest, then I don't want to play any games. In the decision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I don't want to play any games. So you say, no, I don't have any constraints in accepting it. And I don't ask myself, hey, you know, Islam is so hard, everybody can take, they're taking all from us, and they're tramping on our feet, and encroaching on us, and we must just give in. And here they can just take advantage as they want. They must progress, and we must make no, I got no reservations. Where Rasulullah says something, then I must accept it. Now everybody is holidaying, it's summer, it's December, they're coming to, what? Or that beach, Gabbana, what? Kansa beach? Banana beach. Everybody is there. And I mustn't go there. See? Everybody can be making merry, and everybody can be enjoying and pleasure and everything, and I must just stay away. So I got no reservation. Why? It's the decision of the Visasam. I got no constraints. And the third, then, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. And then you surrender entirely. Entirely surrender. You know, aap jo farma rahe, wahi sach hai. I'll just create one incident about this. Surrendering entirely. And we'll complete this. All of us may have heard of Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi's father was Maulana Ahmad Sahib. He was known as Hafiz Ahmad. But he was a very great alim, very, very great alim. But he was popularly known as Hafiz Ahmad Sahib. So Hafiz Ahmad Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh, he was the previous Muhtamim and the principal of Darul Diyoban. For many years he ran it, contemporary of Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh, and all Mawlana Thanvi, everybody respected him and they liked him. Very great saintly person. So he sees Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi in the dream one day, and there is a discussion about some of the bid'at like Maulud, etc. So Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi is saying to Hafiz Ahmad Sahib, that why are you people so hard against all these things, these practices? Yeah? Why are you people so hard? Why you take a hardline attitude? After all, there is some gunjaish, there is some room in these type of matters. Why do you people take such a hardline attitude? Okay. When the fuqaha have given some room and all that, then you must relax it a little bit. So Hafiz Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, nay, usme kisi kisam ki gunjaish nahi. There is no room for these type of practices. There is no room at all. We are taking this and we are bound to take it because there is no room for anything besides this. There is no gunjaish for anything besides this. Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi told him, aur agar maine huzur se kehlwaya, to phir तो हाफिज अहमद साहब से इस हम तो हुजूर ही की वजह से इन चीजों से मना कर रहे हैं. इट इज ऑन अकाउंट ऑफ रसूल पसंद दैट वी आर प्रिवेंटिंग दिस थिंग्स हियर, दिस टाइप ऑफ प्रैक्टिसेस वी आर स्टॉपिंग इट एंड वी प्रिवेंट पीपल फ्रॉम देम. व्हाई? बिकॉज ऑफ रसूल पाक प्रिवेंटिंग इट. इफ रसूल पाक हिमसेल्फ सैंक्शंस इट एंड अप्रूव्स इट, देन वी गॉट नो रीजन टू स्टॉप इट बिकॉज ही इज अप्रूविंग इट हिमसेल्फ. सो इन द मीनवाइल Rasul-e-Pasam comes in and this whole discussion is presented before Rasul-e-Pasam. So Rasul-e-Pasam says ke ye jo jawan naujawan keh rahe, some approximate words, wo sahi keh rahe, that there is no room for this, there is no gunjaish for this. What this youngster is saying, that is Hafiz Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah is saying, is right, that there is no room for this. Now look at Hari Sahib Rahmatullah's response. Hari Sahib Rahmatullah, approximately 7 times, now this all happened in the dream, 7 times from a standing posture, he comes to like a ruku posture and he says, Sahi wa baja, Sahi wa baja, Sahi wa baja. Absolutely right, and we accept it wholeheartedly. Absolutely right, and we accept it wholeheartedly. 7 times he says this. Anyway, Rasul-e-Pasam then indicates to Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah, now I will leave. Hazrat, jaise aapki marzi ho, whatever you suggest, whatever you say. Hafiz Ahmad Sahib says, but I saw Rasul-e-Pasam in the form of Hazrat Muad Gangoi Rahmatullah Alayhi. So I asked Rasul-e-Pasam that this is what I have heard and what I have learned in the hadith about you, that this is your description. But today I see you in the form of Hazrat Mulana Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So Rasulullah SAW tells him, my description is like what you see in the kitabs. But I've come in the form of Mulana Gangoi Rahmatullah Alayh because you have a lot of confidence and respect for him. So I've assumed that shape, I've come in that form. So you see the requirement of faith, what faith and what iman requires of us. 3 levels. One level is that we appoint Rasul-e-Pasam as the final judge in all our affairs, be it wealth, be it socializing, be it marriage, be it business, whatever it is. Yeah. But we appoint Rasul-e-Pasam as the judge. He makes the final decision. And the second requirement of faith, that we don't find any constraints in accepting the command of Rasul-e-Pasam. What he commanded, we don't find any constraints. We don't say, no, why not and how can, and why everybody else can enjoy, why can't we enjoy? You know, we don't have this type of questions thereafter. And third requirement of faith, wa yusallimu taslima, absolute submission, total submission. What Rasulullah says, there is total submission to it. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.